Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
us pray. O God, you have prepared for those who love you good things that surpass all understanding. Pour into our hearts such love toward you, that we, loving you above all things, may obtain your promises, which exceed all that we can desire. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday after Trinity is from 1 Kings chapter 19. The Lord said, "Dwell and stand on the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, the sound of a low whisper, and when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' He said, 'I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away.' And the Lord said to him, 'Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi. You shall anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat, and Abel Meholah, you shall anoint to be prophet in your place. And the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael shall Jehu put to death. And the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha put to death. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, and the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing the 12 yoke of oxen in front of him, and he was with the 12. Elisha passed by him and cast his cloak upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elisha and said, "Let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." And he said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" And he returned from following him and took the yoke of the oxen and sacrificed them and boiled their flesh with the yokes of the oxen and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and went after Elijah and his sister. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed.
O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob.
The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart." Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to the Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats, so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken, and so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten of me, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things are made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead,
whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Lord and Healer of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you.
Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The following message was on the church sign of the Pentecostal church in my hometown this past week. Be ye fishers of men. You catch them, we'll clean them. I thought it was interesting to see this on that church sign the same week that the historic lectionary has the gospel lesson we have today. But it's oh so sad and indicative of the messed up understanding of Christianity that dominates the American scene. Nowhere in Scripture does our Lord tell us to be fishers of men. Nowhere in Scripture does our Lord tell all Christians to catch men and bring them into the church to be clean. But this is the false understanding of Christianity that many have, where the job of all Christians is to be fishermen, bringing freshly caught fish into the church where they can be taught how to live good, clean, moral lives and be saved. Thus does Christianity become just another religion of the law, where clean living, being good, moral, decent people becomes the order of the day, since this is ultimately believed to be the way to heaven. I can think of no better slogan for what passes itself off as Christianity in America than, be ye fishers of men, you catch them, we'll clean them. It's why the most popular preachers in America make millions of dollars selling books that are nothing but self-help motivational messages which have absolutely zero to do with the Christian faith. It's why even members of conservative church bodies, like our own Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, produce evangelism programs that are no different than your average multi-level marketing pyramid scheme, where the purpose of all Christians is to be recruiters who bring more people into the church so that they can be trained to be recruiters who will bring more people into the church so that they can be trained to be recruiters and so forth. The end result being the promise of rich and lavish growth for the church. Dear friends, the church is not a business. The gospel is not a product to be marketed and sold to unchurched consumers for the purpose of increasing the bottom line. Jesus is not an offer, and salvation is not something that can be achieved by following the right how-to formula. But this is exactly how most people understand Christianity in America, as has been proven time and time again by polls conducted by various research institutions, including the most popular of them, the Barna Group. 80% of Americans, to this day, still claim to be Christian. And 80% of them believe that the way to heaven is being good. And this explains the other startling statistic, namely, that of the 80% of Americans who claim to be Christian, only 20% have anything to do with a church. Why bother with a church when believing in God and being good, moral, decent citizens is all that is necessary to get into heaven? The truth is that Christianity in America is dying, my friend. The true gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is rarely preached and heard anymore among us. In its place is this false message of Christianity that is really no different from the world's message. You reap what you sow. You get what you deserve. You only get out of it what you put into it. You have to love yourself first before you can love others. You make your own breaks through hard work and dedication. The customer is always right. Bigger is better. Coffee is for closers only. There is no such thing as a free lunch and growth. Growth comes only from effective marketing, and growth is the only indicator of success. Christianity in America is dying. And everyone knows that. I'm not saying anything that most people wouldn't agree to with that statement. That 80% of Americans still identify as being Christian is utterly meaningless, and everyone knows it. In fact, this past week, I sat in the waiting room where my mom was having tests done a few times, and the registration desk was right there. When each patient came in, they sat at the registration desk to check in, and the ladies behind the desk asked them a series of questions, one of them being, "Do you have a religious affiliation?" I heard that question asked of at least 30 patients during my times in that waiting room, and only two times did I hear patients answer that question affirmatively in a confident way. Many simply said, "No." Many others stumbled, saying something like, "I guess I'm a Christian?" Or maybe the most popular was, "Well, I was raised Catholic." Something like that. On one occasion, a young man who I guessed to be about 20 years old came in with his mother. When he was asked that question, he said, "No," which prompted his mother to give him a little slap on the back of the head as she said, "We're Catholics." And the young man said, "We are?" Christianity in America is dying, my friends. And the reason it is dying is not because the church hasn't been effective enough in its marketing techniques. It's dying because the word of the cross has become folly, not only to the world, but to those who are supposed to be preaching it, so that it's rarely heard anymore. Like ancient Israel, the church in America has merged with the culture so that it has become more and more worldly with each passing year. Sins that used to be sins, the church is now saying is okay. The sins, the popular sins of today that we all know about, are being embraced by the church in a if you can't beat them, join them kind of way. This is exactly what happened in ancient Israel. They became syncretistic to their culture. They began to embrace the religion and ideals of the culture. They began to bow to the Baals in their land. The most popular preachers in America preach messages that are no different than what you will hear when watching Dr. Phil or the Oprah Channel. In fact, the millions of people who go to hear these preachers preach every week would be better off going to a Chinese restaurant and getting a handful of fortune cookies after their meal, as the content of those preachers' messages is really no different from what you find in those fortune cookies. And at least they get a meal with them. If you don't believe me about that, go home today and Google fortune cookies and Joel Osteen, who is the most popular preacher in America today, and do a little reading and see if you can tell the difference between the fortune cookies and Joel's messages. Christianity in America is dying, my friends, but it will not die. God always preserves his remnant. It is very easy to have an Elijah moment today, seeing the utter immorality that has befallen our culture and the utter corruption of what passes itself off as the church in America, succumbing to that culture. But our Lord always preserves his remnant. In Elijah's day, he tells him there are 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. 7,000. 7,000 is symbolic for the perfect number of those I have saved. The Lord is in charge. There are 7,000 in America who have not bowed their knee to the culture. There is a perfect remnant that our Lord keeps and maintains that is his holy Christian church. He is in charge. He does the fishing. He brings people in, and he makes them clean by his own work and sacrifice. He catches men into the net of his church with the pure preaching of the gospel and the right administration of the holy sacraments. That's how it works. No marketing schemes, no gimmicks, no self-help nonsense, no how-to seminars, no latest and greatest foolproof evangelism programs. The Lord does not come in the great rushing wind or earthquake or fire of our efforts and our schemes and our techniques. He comes in the simple whisper of his word. He comes and catches people into the net of his holy church by the simple water combined with his word of promise in baptism. The simple forgiving word of holy absolution and holy preaching. And the simple bread and wine, which is his body and blood at his word. That's what the apostles learned that day in the boat. They toiled all night and caught nothing. And then at Jesus' word, they go out in the heat of the day and cast their nets in the deep, which is utter foolishness. There will be no fish there. They know better than this. There can't be any fish there. These are professional fishermen. They do this for a living. They know that you do not catch fish in the heat of the day in the deep waters. This is an exercise in futility. But maybe Jesus is trying to teach them some lesson, so at his word, they go and do it. And they catch more fish than they can handle. It's a true miracle. What couldn't happen, happened. What was impossible came to be. And that's the point. That is Christianity. It is utter nonsense. It is completely illogical. It is foolishness. God, the Almighty God, creator of the heavens and earth, cannot become a baby. And yet, he does. That same God, Almighty Creator of the heavens and the earth, who has no beginning and no end, cannot die. And yet, he does on a cross. And we know no human being can possibly be killed and rise from the dead. And yet, God in the flesh does just that. Christianity is foolishness. Christianity is truth that does not jive with our human reason. You cannot be good enough to merit going to heaven. No amount of self-help, motivational messages can get you to achieve your salvation. You are sinners who can do no good thing on your own. Repent. What you deserve is exactly what you confess each and every week. You deserve damnation. The only thing you merit is punishment in hell. For you have not loved God and neighbor perfectly and completely. Not even close. If your salvation is dependent upon you, you are doomed. And if you want to save yourself, well then go home today, sell everything you have, and follow Jesus. Everything. Give up your family, your friends, all your possessions, and dedicate every second of the rest of your life to following Christ. Good luck with that. Your salvation is not dependent upon you. That's the remarkable good news of the Holy Gospel. Your salvation is dependent upon Jesus. And he has lived the perfect life you can't live. And he has paid the price for every single sin you have and will commit. He paid that price on the cross. You cannot be good enough to merit going to heaven. And yet you are. through faith in Christ. You cannot achieve your salvation, and yet your salvation has most assuredly been achieved by Jesus. You do not reap what you sow. You do not get what you deserve. But you reap what he has sown for you. And you get what he has merited on your behalf. In the world, there is no such thing as a free lunch. But Christ's church, his kingdom, is not of this world. In his kingdom, you have a free lunch. In his kingdom, your salvation is free. In his kingdom, the first are last, the last are first. The weak are strong, the strong are weak. The mighty are humbled, and the humble are exalted. It is utter foolishness, to be sure, but it is this utter foolishness that is the power of salvation to all who are being saved. Rejoice then, dear friends in Christ, for you have been caught into the net of the Holy Church, not by any effort on your part, but solely by the grace, mercy, and love of your Savior, Jesus. For at his word, you were baptized into his name and brought into his kingdom. At his word, you are forgiven upon the confession of your sins. At his word, you receive from this holy altar the very body and blood he gave and shed on the cross for your sins in the Holy Supper. At his word, you can depart in true peace today, knowing that you have been cleansed and washed clean again in the blood of the Lamb. Be ye fishers of men, you catch them, we'll clean them. No, not at all. He is the fisher of men. He has caught you, and he has made you clean in his blood. It is all utter foolishness, I know. But the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Thank God for the foolishness of the gospel, which declares you sinners perfect and holy and righteous in Jesus' name. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Members of the church gathered here and throughout the world, that they may continue to meet joyfully to receive the Lord's gifts of forgiveness and life in his word, in preaching and in the sacraments. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all Christians who endure persecution, which comes in many forms, that they would not despair of God's mercy, but would hold fast to the confession of the faith, and have the assurance that Christ unites with them in their suffering. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the mentally ill, that God would grant them peace in the midst of their affliction, and for all who work in mental health facilities, that God would guide them, that they may care for their patients with skill and love. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our country, that his leaders would recognize that their authority comes from God and seek after his will, that its citizens would give thanks to God for our freedom, recognizing that it comes from him, and that the Christians in our country would forsake the wayward ways of our culture and cling in steadfast faith to the pure gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who live in poverty, danger, seclusion, loneliness, or difficult circumstances, and for all whose bodies are ill or in pain, weary or weak, abused or afflicted, and especially for all who have requested our prayers, including Joan Birch, Vivian Strom, Marlene Wiltshire, Dick Weiser, Bill Harmon, Dick Kohler, Joyce Kohler, Ella Shaw, Corrine Ellenboss, Tom Ellenboss, Shirley Curry, Scott McCollum, Landon Cole, Fred Glazer, Charles Shaw, Margaret Duby, Lloyd and Lyle Duby, James Whiting, Maxine Cole, Phil Warsop, Lee G, Sherry Schaub, Joseph Tolk, Samantha Tolk, Elaine Wood, Pastor Dan Chambers, Gian Weiser, Dan Freed, Rosemary Reichart, Sally Messer, and the family of Donna Bebo, who went to be with our Lord this past week. That the Father of all mercy would look on them in loving kindness and bring relief according to his will, and that he would grant them grace to trust his will amidst their sufferings. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who wish to receive your holy supper this day, that they would come to your table in reverent joy, confessing that Christ's true body and blood are present for them there for the forgiveness of their sins, and that in this holy meal, miracle of miracles that it is, we who are many are made one through participation in the very body and blood of Christ. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
These and all other petitions we entrust to your tender mercy, Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, should not perish, but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemned the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Jesus Christ, you live.
very body of Christ given for you.
The Lord God of Christ shall bring you.
The very body of Christ given for you. The very body of Christ given for you. The very body of Christ given for you. The very body of Christ given for you. The very body of Christ given for you. The very body of Christ given for you. The very body of Christ given for you. The very body of Christ given for you. The very body of Christ given for you.
The very blood of Christ.
The very body of Christ given for you. The very body of Christ given for you.
The very blood of Christ.
The very body of Christ given for you. The very body of Christ given for you.
The very blood of Christ shed for you.
The very body of Christ given for you. The very body of Christ given for you.
The very blood of Christ shed for you. The very blood of Christ shed for you. Shed for you.
true body and blood of Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.